Hello, I'm Kendra Johnson, Vice President of Business Development at the International Car Wash Association, and this episode's host of Car Wash, the podcast. I'm joined today by Qualchem, who has earned a reputation as the industry's premier chemical supplier, with installations in many of the top car washes around the world. Joseph Maldaban, founder, and Ryan Molinelli, Vice President of Sales, join us to talk about their new product, NanoHex, and the creative R&D process that they leaned into this time around.
Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry.
Joseph and Ryan, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Good to see you.
I'm so excited to have you both here. I know that we're going to dig into a new little product called NanoHex, but first, Joseph, I'd love for you to share a bit about Qualchem's history with our listeners. For those that don't know, shame on them, but let's catch them up.
Sure, would be my pleasure. So, Qualchem really started for me because I did not have the product which I dreamed to have, let's call it that way. So I used, in that time, I had 14 car washes and I operated, I was the manager of those car washes and Ryan was one of the managers at, some of the car washes which we had. And, this is the problem. If I take anybody's product, like what we call it, a one drum product, okay? That one drum, let's see, we're going to take a pre-soak, for example, okay? So on that one drum product, I'm going to have some components which are important, more important or less important in our business. And one of the components which is most, needed is foam. Customers associate cleaning with foam. You don't give them foam, you can clean the car and we could clean it without foam, they are not going to be happy. So my problem was that if I took a pre-soak high pH, I wanted to set up that high pH at a certain pH where I knew that it's going to clean. So it's going to have emulsification properties and so on and so forth. But, at that particular setup for the pH, I'm going to have only a certain amount of foam because in that formula, it's a relationship between those. My problem was if I wanted more foam and the pH was okay, I had to raise the pH up too. When that happened, then other bad things happen in the process of washing a car. So as a chemist, what I said, okay, I'm creating a foam with this type of raw materials. I'm creating high pH with this type of raw materials. So I said, why don't I try to separate? So basically what we did, Qualchem became a company because we made these products for ourselves. We were blending ourselves this product and using it. And then I have other friends of mine in the industry. I told them what I'm doing and they came and they looked at it and they said, hey, I would like to try it too. So, I had to make the product by mixing it in one of our facilities, which wasn't exactly the so-called industry standards, let's call them that way. So the company really started with me selling and working with these things. So until we got up to like $2 million in sales, I was by myself. So that's the story of Qualchem.
And Joseph, one of the things that I heard you say that really resonated with me was that you took this leap, this chance, and you went out there and you wanted to create something that A, didn't exist, but B, that you were in total control of. And that seems to be how you're driving your business forward even since 20 years. So over the last 20 years, you keep putting yourself in the driver's seat and wanting to almost like beat yourself at your own game, put yourself in front of Qualchem. So you're always kind of chasing your own tail to be the next best creator.
And, knowingly or not knowingly, that's what happened. The fact that we have three three people which have chemistry background, you know, helps. And, you know, the most important thing is that we're going always, we're looking for something new, something better. And sometimes, you know, we do it, but most of the time, the field, like Ryan. Ryan is one of the guys which came in and said, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, graphene. Are we going to do something about it? And then we start looking into it. And, you know, I can get, we'll get into graphene a little bit later. But, you know, so Qualchem is not Joseph. Qualchem is the Qualchem family. That's how we call it, the Qualchem family. And everybody has, you know, the conversation which we have, the information which they come in and say, hey, I would like to have this to be able to do that.
Yeah, so, Joseph, you have instilled that creativity and curiosity in your team. But I do want to unpack graphene for a second, because that is, so let's unpack that specific component before we go into kind of how NanoHacks came to be. But with graphene being this new, and forgive me, but this new standard of clean, you hear it across the board. So tell us a little bit about how graphene got to that place. And maybe for those that don't know, unpack it a little bit for us. How does graphene really impact the chemistry experience for WASH?
Sure, absolutely. So to be short about it, what graphene is basically, you can look at it as a structure like a honeycomb. And those corners, each one, it's a carbon, which is connected to another honeycomb. So it's a very, very strong, you know, product. The film or the layer which is creating on the surface of the car, it's very, very strong. So I read somewhere a comparison where they said, if you take one mole of the graphene and make a layer, and you compare it with the one mole of iron and make a layer out of it, the graphene, it's 10,000 times stronger than the iron. So, you know, all these things, you know, reading about it. And so your question was, how was graphene developed? The graphene was developed in the 70s for sealing paper, not to allow the water to go through it. So that was the idea of the graphene. So obviously, if you think about it, it's a very good, you know, layer of something there which doesn't allow the water to go through it. It doesn't allow the water to go through it. For sure, it's going to be a property to release the water off of it. You know, so that's how we got into the graphene. And then, you know, Frank, our chemist, very talented, very, very creative. You know, and he's very in tune with all the raw materials better than anybody in the company, Claudia or myself. You know, he put together the product. And this is basically about graphene. But let me tell you about nanographene, which we use. Mm-hmm. So nanographene came really into because, you know, like Ryan came in and said, hey, I have a customer who wants to go from a package of $25 to a $30. They asked us, what can we do for them? So do something which is, you know, visible, not just, you know, a lot of nothing. So what we did, we had already the Luminara in two steps. So this is why we lose Luminara. We had a detergent which was taking off the oxidation of the car. So we compare it with a clay bar. Okay? So now the surface of the car has very little oxidation. We're coming on the top of it with Luminara, which is going to seal, you know, the surface. Now we have that layer which we said you can feel it. And we had very good results, and we improved the drying and, you know, and all that. But with the nano, the whole idea was to take nano and apply it on the top of Luminara to seal all the pores which Luminara has. And now I have a layer which is not going to retain water.
Well, and that comes back to, Joseph, the idea of the system and how the system is critical to the customer experience and the operator's success. That comes right back to your point about the system.
Sure. And then, you know, we have some of our customers, you know, they had Luminara now for a year or more. When we took the NanoHex and installed it properly, they had no water left on the car. And by not having water on the car, guess what? We're not spotting. So that's the story of NanoHex. I'll let Ryan, you know, take it from here because I think I talk too much. When it comes to chemistry, if somebody wants to talk to me about chemistry, they better be patient with me because I like to talk a lot about it.
Well, Joseph, you're in the right space because that's exactly why we're here, is to talk about chemistry. And I am a willing student. So thank you for taking some of that time to chat through the graphene and kind of the start to that NanoHex creative process. But Ryan, if you wouldn't mind digging into the R&D process, as Joseph alluded to, that was also different this time around. So you guys were throwing, you know, all these new curveballs, again, within and at each other, which is exciting to think about. So tell us a little bit about this R&D process, which was different from how you previously launched new products at Qualcomm.
Yeah. So, you know, as Joseph said, most of our products have been developed based on a problem from one of our distributors or customers out in the field. I mean, I think that's one of the things that separates us as a chemical manufacturer in this space is I think we listen to our customer base about as good as any manufacturer does in the industry. And knowing that, and we have a very flat management structure. So that message gets to me and it gets communicated to Joseph very quickly. And we make moves, you know, very fast and we're very nimble when it comes to changes to our product line and making advancements and improvements to not just a new product, but to other products that we have in the field. So with that, the process changed for us is, you know, kind of gave me some freedom to, you know, we already, like Joseph said, we already had a world-class car that we were putting out. So there was some hesitancy on my side, like, hey, how can we make cars better? Because, I mean, we got cars that are shining, they're cleaning, they feel great, and we're putting out a better car just about, you know, as good as or better than anybody else in the industry at fast chain speeds, at slow chain speeds and in-bay automatics, at self-serves, all across the board. So what I wanted to do was to find some data to prove that this product was going to take our product from, you know, what I thought was a world-class product and actually make an improvement before we brought it to market. So essentially what we ended up doing is taking an early stage formula out to the field. And, you know, testing it with our customers and distributors in different regions across the country and getting feedback from the people that are actually going to buy our products blindly. So they didn't know if they were getting it or not getting it. I was in the back room, you know, pulling all the strings, putting it on at this level, putting it, you know, but the people that were grading the cars, they had no idea what product or what package the cars were getting. I was keeping all track of that in the back room. And then collected the data, you know, put it out in the spreadsheet. And really what we were looking at was, you know, some quantitative data on four different metrics from the level of shine, how quickly the water breaks, the bead movement and how quick the beads were moving. And, you know, looking at, you know, the length of the tail of the bead and how much drag there is, et cetera. And then also the contact angle and certain things like that. But the last metric was, you know, the dryness and spotting, which, you know, was kind of one of the biggest improvements that we saw across those four metrics was ultimately the drying improved, you know, very significantly. So, you know, doing that model of kind of, I guess, a scientific experiment blindly and not having any biased data of us testing at our own car wash here or outside the lab gave us a lot of confidence in taking this product to the market because we knew that, you know, operators were seeing the difference instantly. We had the statistics to prove it. And the only statistics we were going to be waiting on after we took it to market was, you know, the feedback and the statistics based around how much, you know, the ticket averages were increasing based on, you know, where they were implementing it on the menu. And all the feedback that we've gotten from that is, you know, whoever's bought and implemented NanoHex has really been happy with, you know, the ROI and the additional revenue added to their bottom line, you know, since they've added on. So really, I mean, it was a little bit different from us to take this product all across the country and, you know, and test it regionally, putting it in some extreme environments in Alaska and some environments in the Carolinas, and taking those, that blind data and putting it on a spreadsheet and really believing in, you know, what we thought was a world-class car can get better. You know, one of our mantras here at Qualchem is we're always striving for the perfect car. And, you know, sometimes we get complacent with a really, 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 really good car, and then we come up with something else and we take it up another notch. And I think it's fun to be in that environment.
So Ryan, you pulled the science out into the field and I gave you that extra level of assurance. Now the question is, will that be the new standard for Qualchem? Have they just raised their own bar in terms of how they will R&D in the future? And, you know, I can already see what Joseph will be saying. He'll say yes to that because he's always trying to move that bar.
It's
but
automatic.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think, I think one of the things also that sets us apart is pretty much everybody that works here at Qualchem, you know, outside in the field has had, you know, operational experience working at a car wash, manning a car wash, owning a car wash. And, you know, we don't really like to bring people into the family unless they really have car wash experience. Not to say that we wouldn't, we haven't, we brought some people in that, you know, don't have experience before, but, you know, kind of painting that picture, we all have that, that car wash gene in us that, you know, we can always take something that is and make the product better, whether it's a customer experience or, you know, the car quality, or, you know, you kind of come up with a little idea at the car wash and you tell your boss and say, hey, I think we can move cars, you know, more cars per hour if we do this little thing. And it's just always I think that's what makes this industry so interesting, and how people kind of fall in love with it is there's still a lot of room for improvement all across every facet of what we do in the car wash industry. And having the freedom to work at Qualchem to kind of, you know, yeah, I work and manage the sales team, but I also get to do a lot of other projects with the marketing side and the R&D side, and those kind of all tie in. And I think it better enhances what I can do when I connect with the customers, because I have been a part of, you know, part of the research and development of this process, and my guys have also been a part of that as well. So kind of tying everything on again, I think it's just part of who we are at Qualchem is, you know, we're always looking to improve, even though that margin might be getting smaller and smaller. And we kind of know that maybe the perfect car is never, it's going to be impossible at, you know, I guess in a way the perfect car, you know, but I think we're going to be able to get closer to that impossible perfect car than anybody else because of the way we do things and the way we're structured.
Ryan, I would say that you guys have the soul of the operator, but the heart of a chemist. You guys try to approach it from two different perspectives and are always trying to keep one in mind when you're leaning into the other. One of the things that you mentioned, though, too, was just the engagement with the operator and from the sales perspective. So that's the other side of the product development, right? So you've tested the product. It's ready to go. You believe it to be best. But now you need to position it to the operator. You need to tell them that this is the next level of investment they need to make. So with those operators that are grappling with the why, walk us through a little bit about how your sales team approaches after the new product is live. How do you approach that launch to them? And what are the steps you take to make sure it's successful in market?
Yeah, I think the first, you have to kind of gain the trust of your customers first off and foremost. Like I said, our experience and our background gives us a lot of you know, steps up on the trust level. But from that standpoint, you know, being there for our customers and showing up and doing the service work on a regular basis about as good as anybody does in the industry, and making sure that we really spend time, not just to go turn a wrench or change a tip or, you know, flip a flow jet. You know, we're there to spend time, go to lunch, go to dinner, and really listen to their needs and wants. And I think, you know, I wouldn't categorize us as a very salesy company. We're not going to be, you know, out there trying to sell you, you know, a brand new car or anything like that. That's just not in our motto. We really want to understand what's going on in your car wash, and hopefully we can garner that trust and use that trust to kind of give you some direction on how to improve your operations and your end product there at the end of the tunnel. I kind of hope that kind of paints the picture of kind of how I see it.
Joseph, back to you on this final thought, if you will. As we think about NanoHacks being somewhat in the rear view mirror, it's already out there. It's done, right? So now we're on to the next thing. What does that look like to you? How do you determine where to go next and take the team in the future? What's next?
Interesting question. And we had this conversation in our meetings, you know, and all that. What's new? Whatever the industry needs. Okay, what is the industry ready for? Like, for example, something which may be something, wheel wax. A wax for the wheels, a protectant for the wheels. Now, we do already some things, but we use products which could be now we have technology which would be a lot better than what we have. Now, some people use that. Some people, they don't feel like, but this is my prediction. Could be another revenue maker. You know, so the industry is going to dictate where and how we're going to do business in the next 10 years. You know, and an idea which came basically more so from Jessica, and, you know, she developed this fragrance program. And it amazes me, you know, how our customers embraced it. I mean, we have customers which ordered, I don't know, 120 drums of fragrance. I mean, that is like unbelievable. So those are the things that comes from listening to our customers. But, you know, specifically to tell you, I don't know one application which I would go for. If that's one thing which is new, yes, it's new. But that's the reason why I'm saying we like to listen and bring in ideas and needs of the customers for us to fulfill.
Well, this was so lovely to be able to chat with you both. This is my first podcast.
Well, we are honored, you know, that you really thought about us, and I hope that we gave you a very sincere, you know, approach which Qualchem has.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.